Well, I just came out of the doctor's, 130 Ellesmere Avenue. This is kind of my annual visit back to the old neighborhood. I just talked to him about my physical and stuff like that, but interestingly enough, he said I've only been seeing him since 1996, and he's only been there since 1994, and I haven't lived in this neighborhood since 1992, so can't remember really who I saw before that or why I decided to come back here. But I'm just walking around, and I'm going to go walk through Parkway Mall, and maybe I'll talk a little bit about that. This is my old neighborhood. I lived here from 1971 until 1992, from the ages of 6 until 27, so kind of my whole growing up period. It's not really Scarborough. I'd call it faux Scarborough. Victoria Park Avenue is sort of the dividing line between North York and Scarborough. So my doctor and Parkway Mall are technically in Scarborough. But I don't really think it's very Scarborough-ish. Parkway Mall has definitely changed a lot. This used to be almost like a strip plaza. It was just one side open to the elements. Now it's been covered in, and it's still only one level, so it's not much of a mall really, but they've got a Staples. There used to be a Kmart here where I used to come and eat fries with gravy for my lunch with my friends Ken McCourt and Mike Lamantia, Mike MacArthur. My mom would come over here as well. She'd hang out and drink tea with her friends. She'd also she'd hang around with my friend Ken's mom, Anne McCourt, and they would just gossip and gab all day over here. Anyway, I think I'm going to walk through the mall. I might shut down for a little while, but it's just interesting to see the different stores that have come and gone. There used to be a Mr. Donut, which was like a weirdly shaped round or, I don't know, octagonal sort of store that was out in the middle of the parking lot. And that was that's no longer here. And there used to be a bowling alley here, the Parkway Bowlerama, where I joined the bowling league for a few years in my teens. Used to have to go downstairs to it. I don't know, maybe it's still here. I guess we'll find out. I'm not sure if I might stop and have some lunch in here, actually. Feeling hungry. I'm going to walk over to past Parkway Bible Church, I think, and past the old apartment, and I might even walk up to Vic Park Secondary or Senator O'Connor. We'll see how I feel. Anyway, going in the mall now. I'll talk to you later. All right, well, I'm back. I just had lunch inside the food court. Just had about 5 places. There's a Greek place, which is where I ate. There was a pita place, a West Indian place, an Asian place, and a pizza place. And about 3 closed up, leasing available storefronts, which it's a bit sad. I mean, the mall itself hasn't changed an awful lot. Still no great stores in there, but there's not even a bookstore in there anymore, which is kind of sad for this area. Same kind of people. The neighborhood hasn't changed an awful lot. There's still a lot of sort of white working class, some Asians, some black, some, I don't know, European, I guess, Italians. I thought the neighborhood would have changed maybe a lot more by now, but not really. Just looking at the standing on the corner where the liquor store used to be, which is actually still here. It's the first LCBO I ever saw. And it used to be all bricked up in the front. So you'd go in there like it was like a porno store. You'd have to go in and give them your order on a piece of paper, and they would bring it out to you. They weren't allowed to display any booze at all. Just a list of booze that they had. The beer store, the original beer store that I used to go to, is still over there as well. A little separate section of the plaza that used to have the LCBO and a Scotiabank is still an LCBO and a Scotiabank. There was a restaurant there too. It used to be the Parkway Family Restaurant. We used to go there for years. It was owned by the same family. Fabulous food, actually, really good. And now it's a place called Wild Wing, which I'm not going into. But they've closed up. There used to be a little passageway between the grocery store, which used to be Miracle Mart, now is Metro. There was a passageway between there and the liquor store, and they've closed that up. So that's interesting. I was going to go around behind to Parkway Bible Church. I think I'll have to go around the other side now, which I'll do. And I'll pass by Annunciation Catholic Church, which is where I was... it's where I made my first communion when I was 7. It's where I was confirmed in the Catholic Church, in grade 7. It's still a funky-looking church. In the 70s, it was pretty modern building for a church. I don't know when it was built, maybe the 60s. It still looks pretty cool. It's still right next to my building. It was right behind my my building at 270 Cassandra. I'm now walking toward Iverdale, which is where Parkway Bible Church is, and I've just seen a Muslim woman in a burqa, which is, I guess, a new phenomenon for this neighborhood, I think. I'm going to walk up Iverdale just a little bit to see the church. I don't really know if anybody I know is still there. I started to go to that church in 1982. And the pastor was Donald Hamilton, father of my friend Philip Hamilton. And the youth pastor was Laird Crump. I believe now it might be... Last I heard, it was the youth pastor was Steve Norton, who was just a snotty little kid when I was going there. Little brother of Lynn Norton. But that was a few years ago, so I'm not sure if he's still there. I'm going to walk up to the front door and see who the pastor is and what it says. The first time I actually walked to this church was my friend Ken and I came here in about 1981, I think. They had just had a fire. The church had been burned to the ground. It was a string of church arsons around that time. We walked over here to see the state of the building, and were stopped by the police. The very spot I'm standing right now, we were stopped by cops, and they demanded that we empty our pockets and wanted to know where we were going. And when we just said we were out for a walk, they didn't believe us. The guy actually said to me, "Your grandfather goes for a walk. You don't go for a walk." So we were incensed, and when we went home, we went off to file a complaint. All right, let's see what it says here. Doesn't say who the pastor is on the front of the church. That's very interesting. Oh, it looks a little different. They have a hand sanitizer inside the front door. That's great. Welcome to the 21st century. The building looks smaller than I remember. And, of course, that's what happens every time you visit somewhere that has loomed large in your past. It always looks a little bit small. Anyway, that was that. I'm walking now back toward... Victoria Park Avenue, where there used to be a 7-Eleven just on the corner of Iverdale and Victoria Park. That was a big deal when they built that. I remember that was probably in the late 70s, and we were so excited to get a 7-Eleven. Not sure why. All I remember is eating Slurpees and big gulps. Looks like now it's a car wash. Yep, it's a car wash. That's weird. Well, I'm going to keep on going. I'm going to do a little walk up Cassandra Boulevard, which was it's really where I grew up. Yeah, there's not even a store here anymore. Just a car wash. Wow. Okay, so I'm walking south on Victoria Park, just south of Iverdale. I'm on the east side of the street. And to my left are what we used to call the Masonettes. They were like townhouses. They're still there. They always seemed a little bit nicer than our apartment because they were two stories. I'm not sure if... I think people still rented them. They weren't owned. They were pretty nice. They still look pretty nice, actually. As does my building. It's a little four-story building. Which I miss. I lived there right till 1992 with my friend Brent Gulinowski. And we finally had to move out because we were both at university and running out of money. We could no longer afford to pay the rent, which is quite sad. There's the sign. It says Cassandra Terrace, and they have a one bedroom available. Wonder if I should go in and ask to see it. That would be quite funny. I wonder what that would cost. I can't remember the rent when we were there, but I'm sure it's probably doubled at this point. Boy, the street looks so small. Cassandra looks so little looking at it. I guess everything looks bigger when you're 6 years old. Even when I left here, I was 27. One of the features of Cassandra is there's two gates, like two on each side of the road that we could never definitively identify. I think what I found out later on the internet is that they were initially the gates to the property of Senator Frank O'Connor, who the school is named for. But this was originally all of his estate, his land. And the thing that was weird about that is that the gates don't look that old. They're sort of concrete, cinder block, bricks, and they look exactly the same. They don't really look that old. So who knows where that story came from. There's a couple of buildings across from 270 that we used to talk about, which were 275 and 265 Cassandra. They were about 10, 12 stories each. And they always looked enormous to us, but they're really not that big. I live in a building right now that's 28, 29 stories tall. Let's see. So, here we are, 270 Cassandra. Looks exactly the same. Looks quite quaint little building. Four stories. I don't know how many apartments, but... yeah, it's very cute. I miss it. Used to walk this way up Cassandra to school. First to Annunciation Catholic School when I was seven. Until grade 8. Then I went to Senator O'Connor School, grade 9 and 10. And then I went to Victoria Park Secondary School, grades 11, 12, and 13. I'm just going to go around the back here to 270 Cassandra, see what else has changed. These little bushes next to the building that we used to hide in when we were kids. They used to feel like they were like a forest in there, and there's nothing much to them. Wow. Okay, I'm in the backyard where we used to play baseball and soccer. football, everything. I remember breaking a window here once playing baseball, and the superintendent making us work to pay it off. I see they've taken out the pool. It's quite sad. They paved it right over. There's just a little gate standing there still. It's like a parking lot. The trees are enormous back here now, though. I'm sure these have grown like, I don't know, 20 feet since I was a kid. There's some big pine trees that are about maybe 100 feet tall. It's nice and shady back here in the summer, I bet. Wow, it doesn't seem to have changed very much, actually. This is kind of cool. Well, except for the pool being gone. I never could swim anyway, so I think that was where my, at least one of the places my dad threw me in, trying to get me to learn how to swim. Magically, it didn't work. So I don't miss the pool too much. But there was a playground behind the pool. Looks like it's gone too. A kids' playground where they had a slide and swings. We used to play hockey in there, road hockey. In fact, I remember that's where I got into a fight, a real fight for the first time I can remember. A guy named Warren Dixon. I have no idea what the fight was about. He showed up at our building and started saying something, and I remember the next thing I know, the two of us were squaring off. It was during the summer. Our parents, my dad and mom, were out in the backyard. And when they saw us fighting, they sort of held back, and then I think I hit Warren, and Warren, who apparently was a boxer, not that I knew that ahead of time, hit me right in the nose. And that started to bleed immediately, and I went down, and I think that's when my dad and one of his friends broke it up. The funniest thing about that was that Warren ended up breaking his thumb because he held his thumb inside of his curled up fist when he hit me. And his parents decided they were going to sue my dad for breaking up the fight. So they claimed that my dad assaulted him or something, which was ludicrous. But I remember some letters going back and forth. And we got a lawyer, a friend of my dad's from the Naval Reserve, and we just sort of threatened to countersue or something, and it all went away. But it was quite silly, especially when the fact that I'm sure I ran into Warren a few days or weeks later, and we just kind of nodded at each other. There was no real animosity. It was just a stupid little childhood fight. I think I was about 12 or 13 at the time. I'm walking past 250 Cassandra, which was another four-story building, but a big complex. It was actually about four times the size of our building, and it was pretty cool. It had four different lobbies. It still looks pretty cool, actually. I wonder what these buildings are going for, what these apartments go for. On the other side of the street, there were townhouses called Wycliffe Mews, 251 Cassandra, and Wellsford Gardens, 240. Oh, no, sorry, 40 Wellsford Gardens. I don't even know if that's a real street. Anyway, those townhouses, we knew a lot of people that lived in there, chiefly Mike McGrath, a real character from my grade 7 and 8 classes. There were some hockey players that lived in here. I remember Ed Johnston, who was a goalie, lived in here. I remember we went in to get an autographed picture of him one day. In 250, there was... that's where Ann Fisher lived, who was a very cute girl that we knew that would hang around with sometimes. In the buildings across from us, 265, 275 Cassandra, I think Debbie Potter lived in there. I don't know anybody else offhand. But it's quite beautiful today. It's a nice, crisp day, November the 8th, 2010. Still getting some fall leaves coming down. It's very sunny and cool. So I'm just walking past 250 now up to Park, which we used to go to play sports, and it's where Victoria Park Secondary School is located. I'm just going to have a look. It looks like their tennis courts are covered with a big inflatable dome, which I guess they do that in the winter. Yeah, this was a great big playing field. I guess it was part of Vic Park's, like their football field and their track. And we would come up here and play. Look at that, there's a sign. Cassandra Park. I can't remember if it was ever called that when we were here. 230 Cassandra Boulevard, City of Toronto. So I guess they've turned it into an actual park. Unfortunately, the tennis courts look like they take up most of the space that we used to use for playing ball. Remember, you could go through this park and you could end up on Cumbermere Drive. And that was where my friend Mike Lamantia lived. He lived in the first house next to Annunciation Church. And it was strange. I guess he was the only friend we had that lived in a house. Except for some school friends, but most of our close friends lived in the buildings. I remember his dad worked for Eaton's. And that was pretty cool. His dad was Italian, his mom was Irish, which was a pretty typical combination back in the 70s. At Catholic schools, you had a lot of Italian last names, a lot of Irish last names. And sometimes they would marry each other. So I'm just looking at the high school. This is my old high school for 3 years. It actually looks kind of deserted today. I'm wondering if there's some kind of holiday or something. There's nobody around. I remember when I told people later that I went to Vic Park, they used to say, "Oh, that was a drug school." Which I suppose I didn't really notice. I'd kind of done all my drugs by grade... let's say by the time I got to grade 12, I wasn't really doing that stuff anymore. Now, as I continue walking up Cassandra, I'm trying to remember who used to live where. It was a family called the Cusimanos. You know what? The house right next to the park. 222. I'm pretty sure that used to belong to Louis Porco's family. Porco, yeah, you can imagine what he was called at school. That was 222 Cassandra. And as I'm walking further in, these houses look exactly the same. They haven't changed. A lot of Italian families used to live in those, if I recall. And I think I'm actually coming up to Wallingford. And I'm just having weird flashbacks now. Wallingford is where the address of Vic Park was actually on Wallingford. I'm having a memory that Quinns, it was a family that had a lot of kids, of course, Irish Catholic. I'm pretty sure they used to live somewhere down Wallingford. And I'm remembering when I was a teenager as well, we would come down this way and at Halloween, at Christmas more like, and we would take out people's Christmas lights in the front of their houses. We'd unscrew the Christmas lights. Sometimes they would all go off and we'd have to tear or run away. Now here, just past Wallingford is 204 Cassandra, which used to be the Cusimanos' house. They were also a big family, big Italian family. I remember Steve Cusimano was probably, I think, a year behind me. He had a lot of brothers and sisters in the school. Well, this walk doesn't seem to take very long as an adult, but I was a kid. It took a while. I'm almost at Avonwick Gate, which is where Annunciation Catholic School is. And that was where I went to school from, I guess, grade 1 through grade 8. Great school, great time. I had a really happy childhood there, I think. Good teachers, good principals. Loved it. Just around the corner from Annunciation was a school called Ranchdale Public School. And of course, being a little young Catholic, we didn't understand what public, we don't even know what public meant. I think we thought that if you weren't Catholic, you must be public, which I guess was kind of true. So when the kids would cut through our playground on their way to Ranchdale, we would yell out, "Ah, you publics." I guess they were yelling at us as well. Maybe they were taunting us for being Catholics, and our only response was, "Yeah, well, you're publics." So that was funny. I've turned onto Avonwick Gate because I'm going to walk past Annunciation so that I can tell you a little bit more about the school. I think it must still be a K-8 school, but I'm not sure. Built in 1964, according to the little the cornerstone. That was obviously a pretty new school, and when I started going here in 71. I believe Ranchdale was built around the same time. You can actually see one from the other, which I didn't remember when I was young, but Ranchdale was experimenting with something called open concept classrooms in the 70s, and our parents were all up in arms about that. I think they would... The main thing that annoyed my mom was that in the public schools, kids could just get up and go to the bathroom without asking permission. Of course, in our school, you had to put your hand up and before you spoke to anybody, which I still think is a good idea. The very first house past Annunciation was ...53 Avonwick Gate, and that was where my friend Donald McCarthy lived. Donald McCarthy was one of the first guys to introduce me to the Beatles, believe it or not. He had the red and the blue albums. And it was probably in the mid-70s when I first started listening to the Beatles, thanks to Donald. Donald went on to Senator O'Connor with me in grade 9 and 10. And actually in grade 9 he ran for, I guess it was grade 9 class rep or something. And people used to, his nickname was Charlie, of course, Charlie McCarthy. And I remember there was a cheap perfume called Charlie. And he actually sort of appropriated their advertising, made up badges that said Charlie. And I'm pretty sure he won. I think he won the election. Realizing that the schools all look kind of quiet today. No, there's some kids in there, in the library. I'm looking at the new addition, actually. That was a big deal just before we left in grade 7 and 8. I think they built the new addition to the school. It contained an industrial arts workshop, home economics room, and a big library. The library used to be on the second floor before that, and it was run by a little old nun named Sister Dorothy. I don't really recall my schooling being overly religious. We had religion class, and there was Sister Dorothy, the librarian, but I never, it didn't feel oppressive in any way to me. And that was actually before they had to admit non-Catholics to the schools, but I think even in high school, Senator O'Connor College School was run by the Christian Brothers, and one of them, actually two of them, taught me. Brother Raymond Shell was my history teacher, and Brother Walter Fazakerly was my drama teacher. I guess looking back, I would have said that we should have known that Brother Walter was, in all likelihood, was gay, but students loved him. His classes were almost always hard to get into because he was such a great teacher. And it was fun, you know. Theater was fun when history maybe wasn't, so. But yeah, again there, I don't recall there being a huge religious emphasis. We had religion class, which is actually where they taught us or tried to teach us sex education in grade 10, by which time I think most of the students already knew far more than they teachers had thought. I'm just walking through the ravine now on the other side, across the street from Avonwick Gate. We used to walk through here. I don't know, we would play out here, and I think, remember one, I can't remember if it was in grade school or high school, but we had an orienteering class during which they turned us loose out here in this ravine to try to find directions or something. But again, I'm always struck by how small everything is, how close together it is. When you're a kid, even when you're a teenager, things seem bigger. Somehow. So I hope I'm not sounding too maudlin or anything. I just haven't really had a lot of time to come back here. It's a bit comforting to know that it doesn't really look very different. Different people in the houses, I guess. Certainly different teachers and students in the school. But they still look the same. Speaking of the houses, I'm always reminded of how some of my school friends lived in these houses. But they weren't people that you hung around with very much. Probably my closest friends that lived out this way were Robert O'Connor, who lived in some houses probably further up Avonwick Gate, and I think off to the left. But Tim Nishikawa was my other friend, and I think he lived on Cassandra. And I've always tried to track him down. I haven't been able to find out what happened to him. Even in these days of Google and internet, Tim was even shorter than I was. He had a great big head, too. But he was really smart, really well-liked, and a very sweet guy. His family were obviously Japanese. I think his parents might have been born in Japan, but all of his brothers and sisters, I'm pretty sure, were born here. They were all really bright, so I'm sure they're all doing interesting things. But I did run into Robert, I don't know, probably in the early 90s, before I left the neighborhood anyway, and he was well. Be curious to see if their family still lived here. From later times, the Seeths lived up in this direction. That would be Malcolm and Marjorie Seeth from Parkway Bible Church, and their sons, Trevor and Graham. Graham was closer to my age, maybe a year younger. Trevor's about five years younger than me. Very good kids, very bright. I knew them from Parkway Bible Church youth group. Graham was a flight instructor and had moved out west and was in a plane crash in probably the late 90s and was killed, which was very, very tragic for his family. Trevor became one of my closer friends after that, I remember. Very smart guy. Was working in a bank and ended up going back to seminary and becoming a minister, and actually is now the pastor of Bridletown Community Church, which is pretty great, but I don't see him very often. His parents are still lovely people, though. I always remember his dad was surprisingly, well, surprising for me at the time, surprisingly moderate in the midst of all the evangelical conservative crap. And I used to think he was very conservative until I'd start talking to him, and then I'd realize this guy is really smart and thoughtful. Also, of course, his parents were incredibly compassionate, lovely people. When I was at Calvin College in 1992-93, I got stuck with a tuition bill that I couldn't pay. My dad at the time was not, well, then and now, he was not either not willing or not able to help me. And with great humility, I wrote a letter to Malcolm Seath, someone I really respected, someone I knew who had enough money to be able to do this. And he was amazing. He just said, "How much do you need?" Wrote me a check, and, you know, it was a loan, but to my great shame, I don't believe I've ever completely repaid the loan. In the ensuing almost 20 years, I've had a lot of ups and downs financially, and I don't know if I was ever, I don't know, I never kept accounts, but I'm sure there's still a few hundred dollars that I owe him somewhere, but they've never mentioned it. I almost feel like I should settle that account before Malcolm is gone. Well, I've just walked through the ravine, and I've come out by a school which looks vaguely familiar. I can't remember exactly what the school is. It's probably a school that we used to compete with or something, but I can't quite recall. I suppose I'm trying to make my way back out to somewhere to catch the bus, but I'm enjoying this a little bit too much. Why am I doing this? I don't know. I'm eager not to let some of these stories disappear. I guess nobody else knows them. Nobody else might want to know them, but I've always been the sort of the pack rat, sentimental person who keeps all these things. So that's just me. I want to get this stuff down and get some of these memories down before they disappear, before I forget them, before the people that I remember forget them. I think it might be Fenside School. Yeah, you know what it is? It's Fenside School. And I'm coming out right across the street from Brookbanks Library, which is the very first public library that our teachers used to take us to learn how to check out books. And that looks so tiny, obviously, to me now. At the time, it was a whole world of new books, things that our library, I guess, at school didn't have. Just the idea of a public library was unbelievably generous, in my opinion. Still is. Just letting people come in and borrow books and bring them back. It's amazing. So this is another, it's a back way through to it, I guess, the way I've walked. It's probably the way our teachers led us over here through the ravine, holding hands or something. Brookbanks Park, that's what I just walked through. Oh, it's not Fenside School. Maybe it was. I'm sure that's what they used to call it. It's now called Crestwood Preparatory College, which makes me think that it's gone private, maybe, or I don't even know whether the public system can change schools like this, but there it is, Crestwood Preparatory College. It looks about the size of a high school, so maybe it was a senior middle school or a high school before. I'm going to cut across, I think, and go up Fenside, which takes me out to Parkwoods Village Drive, which is actually just the connection between York Mills Road and Ellesmere, where I was this morning. Fenside. Fenside is also the home of Fenside Arena, which is the ice rink that my friend Ken used to play his hockey games, house league hockey games at, where we would go skating when we were kids. I remember always being a really terrible skater, sometimes non-skater, but we would go up there anyway. I remember going over there in the back of somebody's truck once. I think it might be might have been Michelle Vautour's dad drove us over. Michelle was one of my teenage girlfriends. I'm pretty sure when I was about 13 or 14 or 15, he would drive us over to Fenside Arena to go skating. Anyway, I'm probably running out of steam, running out of stories for now, but this has been pretty great. Just, I don't know, just wandering around the old neighborhood and remembering stuff. And even though it's a little bit smaller, it's comforting to know that it hasn't changed too much. Except maybe Parkway Mall, which is couldn't change too much. It's always been kind of crappy. It still is crappy, but yeah, I'm walking out up now up to the corner of Fenside and Parkwoods Village, where I will probably wait at the bus stop and catch a bus back home for now. I'm not sure what I want to do with this, whether I want to transcribe this all or just, I don't know, post it on my blog or do something with it. But anyway, thanks for listening, if you're listening now. Oh, gonna run now for the bus. Bye.